I'd like to welcome you to our Wednesday night service. If you'd like to find your place in Revelations chapter 3. Revelations chapter 3. And by the grace of God, we've been going through these different letters and that Jesus wrote to the seven churches. And we're going to continue there. And as part of that series, you can go back and listen to all of them there. And the church at Ephesus and Smyrna, Sardis and Thyatira, and Pergamos, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And so you can go back and listen to all these messages if you haven't had an opportunity to do that. But the title of the message is Repent and Receive. Repent and Receive. All these type churches that are mentioned here in Revelations 2 and 3 can be found in the day that we're living in. And there are those who are being persecuted for the cause of Christ. There are those who are standing fast on the Word of God. And then there's those that are double-minded and those that are professing to be Christians only. And at the end of chapter 3, Jesus gives an altar call for all. It says, if any man. A church is made up of individuals, and revival starts with an individual. And how we need to be revived in the days that we're living in. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, here's the letter that's written to the church at Laodicea, and oh, how they needed to be revived. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All of these letters were written to the pastor first. It was written to him. It says, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea. And the pastor himself is an individual. And he must make sure that he's right with the Lord before passing on the message to the congregation. And this message always affects the pastor first. And when I come over to pray and I come over to study at the church, I'll myself sit on the front row of the auditorium and I'll sit on the pew. I don't come and sit up on the stage and sit in the chair right here next to me when I'm studying and praying. I go to that first pew and I sit there. You say, well, why would you do that? Well, I need the message. And what God's put on my heart, I need to make sure that I'm abiding by what I'm saying. In all the letters that Jesus wrote here in Revelations 2 and 3, he addressed the letter to the angel of the church. The word angel means messenger. But at the end of the letters, Jesus appeals to all people. He says here in the last letter, he says, if any man shall hear my voice, if any man will pay attention to what I'm saying, and the key is to listen and make application. The two churches that wound up lasting were the church of Philadelphia and the church at Smyrna. We're living in the Laodicean age and where there's a lot of religious organizations, but few have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is on the outside wanting to come in. People have made merchandise of Christians. And if any person had visited these five different churches here that needed to repent, remember there's only five that Jesus told they needed to repent. If any person would have went by those churches and walked by or even went into the auditorium there and sat in on a service, they would have never imagined that that church needed to be revived. All of those five churches had works. Some were good. And some were bad. They all had the appearance of being in a good standings with Jesus, but yet Jesus said that they needed to repent or else. They all had the appearance of being well and doing right. And we do well to examine ourselves to make sure that we don't fit to any type of these five churches who needed to repent. Remember, the altar call is always given to the individual. And may the Lord help us as we make application of these different letters here that are written, and we need to make application to ourselves, and we need to make sure that we're right with God. Because revival starts with the individual. The first church that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 is the church at Ephesus. They were doing the right things. They were standing with the right doctrines. But the problem is they had left their first love. Pergamos found itself tolerating things that should have been thrown out. What are you tolerating in your life? What are some things you've allowed in your life, even if it's just in moderation, but you've allowed it in your life that you know is not right? There's some things that should not be there. Who are you tolerating? What are you tolerating? And remember, parents, what we allow in moderation, our children will do in excess. Thyatira, what were they doing? They found itself there, Thyatira, allowing false teachers to lead people astray, and they weren't saying nothing about it. Sardis was a church that was alive but was dead in God's sight. Laodicea was a church that was lukewarm, non-denominational, anything goes, any Bible goes, any doctrine goes, any belief goes. Let's just come and gather together underneath a Christian umbrella. And they call it worshiping the Lord. You see, these letters were written to a specific church and addressed to the individuals attending that church. And not all the Bible was written to me. But all of the Bible is written for me. So there's application here in these seven letters that can be made for each person. And Jesus gives an altar call at the end of each letter. You know, when we give an altar call around here, it's for the individual. Because God may be dealing with someone's heart about surrender. God on the other side of the auditorium, in the same message, God is dealing with someone about some sin in their life. And then maybe up here at the front, God is dealing with another person about, in their heart, about salvation and their need for Christ. So let's not be like these churches who heard the message and they bowed the heads during the invitation, but they never humbled themselves before the Lord and repented of what they were doing wrong. Of the seven churches, you can find a member of each church in every congregation. You can find the Ephesian Christian. He's the contender for the faith and the doctrines. And I mean, he's got all the right stands. He knows all the right words. He's using the right Bible. He's even working hard. And he's not influenced by false teachers. But right here's the problem. They have no love in their heart. The devil has infiltrated the church through people. Wolves wearing sheep's clothing. And you never know, I tell you, who's going to walk through the door. Hey, they can look the part, but not be a part of. I tell you, you just never know what's in a certain setting or a congregation. You know, you can put a football uniform on someone, but that does not make them a football player. And see, all these five churches had the appearance of being Christ-like and having the appearance of being Christians, but they weren't all right with God. You know, you can dress right, you can look right, you can talk the talk, and not be right in your heart toward God. And this is what happened with the people at Ephesus. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. The Bible says that we should be adorning the doctrines. That means we ought to make the doctrines look good. Because you'll attract more bees with honey than vinegar. And if a person takes a bitter, a harsh, a chewing nails and spitting out bullets approach to the gospel, then it's not going to have the desired effect. In John chapter 3 and verse 16 it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." There's nothing harsh. There's nothing bitter about the message of John chapter 3 and verse 16. It's the truth wrapped in love. But in John chapter 3 and verse 17 it goes on. And it says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Hey, we got to be careful developing the heartless Ephesian mentality. Hey, you don't want to be a hothead and have a cold heart. You know, most people who are harsh in their words and harsh in the defense of the truth, they've left their first love. You know, having all the right stands and the right beliefs, but not having the right disposition will bring dishonor to the Lord's work. You know, I've never won a person to Christ with a harsh and a bitter spirit. Oh, but I've led people to the Lord. I've brought people to Christ, and I watched them cry to the Lord and ask God to save them, and tears be running down my eyes. And then you come across another type of church member that can be found in churches, and it's those with the Pergamos and Thyatira mentality. Oh, these type of members are opposite to the Ephesians. These folks are for tolerance. They don't take a strong stand against the Balaamites and the Jezebels. They don't take a stand against false doctrine, and they've adopted worldly standards. They've developed the mindset of, well, you know, it's just what the young people do, and we have to attract the young people, so, you know, we got to allow some of these things. You know, we're just going to have to tolerate some things in order for us to keep the young people happy. And you know, I've heard many dear old saint of God say this about their church, who adopted the contemporary movement. You know, they'll have a traditional, or then they'll have a contemporary service, and then they'll have something else there and call it some other name. And they say, well, you know, it's what appeals to the young people, so we're just going to have to tolerate it. Well, you know what I say? I say hogwash. I say baloney. I say I don't think so. They may not participate in those things, these folks, but the problem is, by tolerating it, they are guilty by association. And that's what the problem was here in Thyatira. The problem was there in the church at Pergamos. They were guilty by association. Oh, they were some that were doing some things that were wrong, and Jesus deals with them. But then He says, well, how about you other ones there? They're tolerating this stuff. He says, you're just as guilty, and you need to repent for tolerating such things. I like what Moses said. Oh, when he came off that mountain and Aaron had caused those there to be deceived and called it a feast unto the Lord and made a golden calf, and people were playing, people were dancing around naked, and Moses came up there and said, who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? Which side are you on here? Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? And God warned these two churches here at Thyatira and Pergamos to get it right. In those two churches, there were those who tolerated the worldliness and those who participated in the worldliness. They were worldly Christians. Hey, they didn't want to go to hell. You know, they wanted to trust Jesus as their Savior, but they also wanted to enjoy the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They embraced Jesus, and they tolerated the world. Oh, they were more concerned with this life and all the temporary pleasures of this life than they were laying up treasures in heaven. Oh, they went to church only because that's what they should do. Hey, but the overwhelming subject of their conversation was the affairs of this world. And then in a church setting, you can find those who fit the description of those who are mentioned in Sardis. They had a name that they were alive, but yet They were dead. They had a name in the community, but did not have a name with God. Jesus did not find their works to be perfect. They've got the mentality that, hey, just simply showing up at church is what the Christian life is all about. That crowd, I'm telling you, will be the first in line to criticize anything that's going on. They don't see the necessity for themselves to be involved in the work of the Lord. I've heard people say, hey, better not ask me to do anything more than what I've already doing. I've heard that. They've got a name that they're alive, but yet they're dead. It's those that need to repent. It's those that need to confess their dead works and be revived. We've come a long way from first century Christianity. Read the book of James. Read the book of 1 and 2 Peter. And people suffered for their stand for Christ. And I'm telling you, and they didn't do it in name only, but they did it indeed. Everything that they did it for Christ. Let some hardships come to America. And by the way, hardships are here and there's probably more on the way. But it'll reveal. It'll reveal those who are alive only in name. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says this. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, underline this word, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. All these folks, they went to church only because it's what they should do. That's why they went to church. You know, you cannot be Christians in name only. We need to be doers of the word. Peace comes from doing what's right. Because when you're not right, you can't have peace. Paul did what he said in verse 9. He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, he said, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Go back to Revelation chapter 3. What Jesus tells this church at Sardis in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3. He told them this. Remember therefore how thou hast received, just like kind of what Paul was saying there in Philippians, what you've received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. These folks were not living as Jesus was coming back anytime soon. That was the least of their concern. Their concern was more on a temporal basis. What they could get out of this life. They had left off doing. They had left off putting their focus on things above. And they had left off getting out the gospel. They were more concerned with laying down roots in this world than laying up treasures in heaven. And then lastly, we come to this church, these Laodicean, and we see the lukewarmness that prevailed in their church and prevails in many today. Even in our churches, there are those who have bought into this Laodicean age. Look at verse 17 of Revelation 3. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Hey, there are those who are comfortable in their circumstances and self-righteous in their beliefs. Hey, these folks can be baptized. They can have their name on the church roll, but their name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Jesus said, you need to repent, and you need to believe on the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Look at verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. If any man hear my voice, revival starts with the individual. Jesus is calling. Jesus is knocking. But right here's the million-dollar question. Will you listen? Will you hear his voice? This church at Laodicea was too busy being engulfed in their dead works and self-righteousness to hear what Jesus had to say. Oh, I wonder how many people will sit in a church pew, and while Jesus is knocking at their heart's door, they will not answer. They will not heed the call. Oh, they'll watch others as they walk the aisle. Oh, they'll even have a tear growing down their cheek. And they'll hear of others being saved, but they'll never see themselves as Jesus sees them. Wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revival starts with the individual. Any man that hears his voice can open the door. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in him. Thank God for the whosoever wills. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If any man shall hear my voice and open the door. Oh, how we need to invite him in. And once we invite him in, then he becomes the host. He's no longer the guest, but he's the host in our heart. He must sup with us, and then we can sup with him. You know, at the wedding in Cana, Jesus was the guest. Oh, but it didn't take long till he soon became the host. When he dined with those on the road of Emmaus, you remember that story? They invited him in. Oh, but he soon became the host when he broke bread and he prayed. Boy, their eyes were opened. Oh, when we invite Jesus in our heart, he doesn't come and sit at our table, but we sit at his table and we sup with him. In Psalms 23 verse 5, it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Oh, how we're living in this Laodicean age. I wonder, will we ever see a revival? Oh, maybe a few people here and there. And thank God there's hope. But as a whole, will we ever see a true revival sweep across our land? Hey, many are too comfortable. Many are too busy to listen and open the door. So many people are just caught up in religion that they forget that they need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't hear of many genuine revivals today. That does not mean that it cannot happen. I pray that it does. But in order for it to happen, it's going to have to start with an individual. With all the so-called churches here in our community, there's no great revival taking place. There could be 100 churches right here in the Myrtle Beach area. I mean, there's churches popping up everywhere every year. There's 2, 3, 4, 5 more churches, you know, quote-unquote churches popping up. But there's no revival. Hey, we're living in the Laodicean age. All these 7 churches existed at the same time. Oh, how we need to be like the church at Philadelphia. We may be called upon to be like the church at Smyrna. Oh, but you know what? This gives me hope. That out of those seven churches, there were two that was doing right. Hey, we can be faithful. We can have the right stands. We can keep His Word. Hey, we don't have to buy into this Laodicean lukewarmness. And thank God we can have the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts. And we can be constrained by His love. We can have a right disposition, even in the day that we're living in. Thank God we can hear. Thank God Jesus is still passing by and He's still knocking on our heart's door. Thank God we can still hear one day, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Jesus reminds each church in all these letters, He reminds each church that we can overcome. We can live a victorious Christian life. Look at verse 22. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." James explains what we need to do with what we hear. He said, "Let him hear what the Spirit say." What are we to do with what we hear? It says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Jesus asked all five of these churches that needed to repent to do something with what they heard. He said, "Be zealous. The time's running short. The Lord is at hand. And He's speaking and He's knocking. But will anyone answer? Will anyone allow Jesus into their heart and let Him become the host?"